president wants to spy on 200 million Americans without a warrant. Has he read this document, which he was sworn to uphold?
Now, I will not have you libel Abraham Lincoln.
I don't understand the problem with registering guns. We register cars.
Mark Levine brings you the news the government doesn't want you to know.
Today, an explosive story about connections between white supremacists and Islamic terrorists.
When there's a conflict between Scalia's conservative values and the Constitution of the United States, he throws away the Constitution.
When we do have secret prisons, that is not what America's all about.
Let's go to Mark in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. On Tuesday, November 3rd, there's an election in the Commonwealth of Virginia. And if you live in Virginia, this election, this Tuesday, will affect you more than even the presidential race. Why so? Well, in our federalist system, the states still have tremendous power. And the irony is that a lot of Virginians don't even realize there is an election coming up around the corner. So what does it matter? How could it affect your life? Why might it affect your life even more than a national race? Well, to help answer these questions, I've invited George Burke. He is the chairman of the Democratic Party for the 11th Congressional District. He's also the host of Inside Scoop Virginia. George, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for having me.
So, George, why should anybody care in Virginia that there's an election next week?
There is a huge difference between these two candidates, and we can go through it piece by piece a little bit later. But if you want to see Virginia move forward, if you want to see the kind of progress we saw under Governor Warner and Governor Kaine, it's going to stop dead when the new governor is sworn in.
So there's governor races. There's races for the Virginia Assembly.
Correct.
Okay. And just before we get to the specifics of the candidates running, Cree Deeds, Bob McDonnell, and all the House races, what can these people do that actually affects real people's lives? I mean, people really cared and went out and voted last year, largely for President Obama, a Democratic Congress. Why should an Obama voter who lives in Fairfax County, Virginia, why should they care to go out and vote next week?
Well, I think one reason is if Bob McDonnell gets elected, they may want to move to Maryland.
Really? No, he's the Republican candidate for governor.
Correct.
Why would they be so concerned? Why should they be concerned?
McDonald, in fact, that whole ticket, but particularly Bob McDonald and the attorney general candidate, who comes from here in Fairfax, his name's Ken Cuccinelli, are both slightly to the right of Attila the Hun.
You're exaggerating.
I am not exaggerating.
Give
These people are arch social conservatives. I don't want to bore many of your viewers because they've probably heard a great deal about the thesis, at least if they live in Virginia. McDonald, at 34 years old, wrote a scholarly paper. He went to Pat Robertson's law school.
Right.
Wrote a scholarly.
It was called the Christian Broadcasting Network University.
Correct.
At the time.
Correct. Now it's called Regent University.
Right.
They wanted to hide the name. But it was unbelievable. It was something that would have been written by a male chauvinist in the 30s.
Well, I believe he called feminists, what did he say, they were evil or the problem? Or I need to get the exact wording.
Yeah, I don't have the exact wording, but I'll suffice to say
you.
A woman's place was in her home, that you know, women going out into the workforce was detrimental to society, that women should be raising babies. Basically, he said women should be barefoot and pregnant, among other things.
Well, one of
but
things
on
he
every
said,
social issues, whether you're well, gay and lesbian, whether you believe in civil liberties, right down the line on the social issues, he and Cuccinelli and Bill Bowling, the lieutenant governor candidate for that same reason, are very, very conservative. It will be the most conservative ticket that we have had in some time.
More conservative than Jim Gilmore?
No, but Jim Gilmore was inept. Bob McDonald is not inept. Bob McDonald is shrewd. Bob McDonald is slick. I think that's one reason he's probably leading in the polls. And, of course, there is a new poll out as we speak from the Washington Post, and it shows McDonald with a double-digit lead, about 11 points, I believe.
That's pretty scary.
It is, and we're about 8 days out. So.
Okay, but you know his argument, right? You've heard it. He says, I wrote this thesis back when I was a 34-year-old. You can't believe anything that I've said. I said things there. I said that this was the Republican Party's vision for the family. He said it was the compelling issue of the decade. I didn't mean it. When I wrote the compelling issue of the decade, I really meant this stuff doesn't matter at all. I deny everything I said. I lied then, and I'm not lying now. He tells you that he doesn't mean any of this stuff.
His voting record in the General Assembly mirrored his thesis. He voted against women's rights. He opposed equal pay.
This one's interesting to me. There was a vote in the Virginia legislature on whether or not women should have equal pay to men, and he voted no.
Correct.
He said that women should get lesser pay than men.
Well, it was a matter of changing laws. I mean, it's the same. On and on there were issues like this. But obviously the fact that he's a social conservative has not gotten through to the electorate. I mean, the Post's latest poll thinks half of the people polled thinks Cree Deeds is too liberal and Bob McDonnell is about right.
Really?
His television commercials, quite frankly, have succeeded in painting him as a moderate. When the thesis issue came out, he started throwing commercials up with women in them, praising him.
Right.
And I don't think I have to tell you about the power of television. And he has had very slick ads, lied through his teeth throughout these ads.
Well, here he writes, he's against the Equal Rights Amendment. He thinks that feminism is one of the great dangers to America. He wants to punish gay people. Not quite sure how he wants to punish them, but he wants to restrain them. So I guess that means jail terms?
Well, what he has already said he will do as governor is he will not sign or re-sign the executive order that Kane did that gave everyone equal rights if they were a state employee.
So he wants to basically fire people because they're gay.
Well, I won't take it that far, but they will not have the same kind of protections from discrimination that they have now under the Kane administration.
Why is he so against working women? I'm reading this thesis and I'm trying to understand why he thinks that women should not work in Virginia.
He maintained at the time that he was writing it to please his professors and he was a young man. I know plenty of 34-year-old people who make policy in Washington now and made it in their 20s in the Bush administration. So to argue I was 34, I was a feckless kid is just a joke.
One of the things I find interesting in this thesis is his argument that married couples should not be able to use contraception. He thinks that the Virginia legislature, or any legislature for that matter, could ban birth control, could actually say, I'm sorry, you can't get the pill. If you get the pill, you go to jail. If you get a condom, you go to jail. He wants to force people against their will to have children, not just not have abortions, but not even have any birth control. That's unheard of, even in Virginia, isn't it? Has there ever been a law, I don't know, maybe back in the 60s, the 50s, where they banned birth control?
No, the only law I remember was a federal law called the Comstock Act, which apparently prohibited the importation of contraceptive devices. And George Bush Sr. was among the congressmen who voted and worked to repeal that law.
So, okay, so what would happen in the Commonwealth of Virginia,
well,
if Bob McDonnell became governor? What would happen for, say, a woman's right to choose whether or not to have an abortion?
Well, it depends. The Supreme Court, of course, has ultimate jurisdiction over that. I think we would see it in smaller ways. I think we would see rights being chipped away. I think we would see...
No more after pill, maybe?
Well, it's hard to be specific until, and hopefully he's not, in office. However, whenever an issue arises that is a social issue in nature, whether it deals with gender, whether it deals with sexual preference, whether it deals with a woman's rights, whether it deals with civil rights, I think we're going to see him err on the side of conservatism time and time again. And, you know, a governor's a pretty powerful person in the state of Virginia. They only have one term. They're a lame duck the day they're elected. So they can pretty much run roughshod and get away with it because they're not looking at their next election because they cannot succeed themselves. So I think that's scary. But just as scary is let's look at people's pocketbooks. A lot of people are listening to Bob McDonnell saying, well, he's not going to raise our taxes. He's not going to be unwise fiscally. Well, the fact of the matter is, I think 4 years from now, if we're under a Bob McDonnell administration, we're going to see an economy in shambles.
I'll tell you, I want to get to that in 1 second. But first, I just want to show up on the screen because I do have a copy of the thesis right here. And he goes on to argue that the Supreme Court should never have allowed marital privacy to include unmarried persons. In other words, no one, a married person, should be able to get contraceptives because at a time when he says every state made sexual intercourse between unmarried persons a crime. So he supports putting in jail anyone that's not married that has sex. That's going to make the college crowd very upset, I think. I don't think that people realize the extent of what at least he wrote in his thesis. Now, has he wholeheartedly said the thesis is bunk? I don't believe in anything in it.
He's walked a fine line by suggesting that he was a young man then, and of course he supports women. Of course he supports women's rights. His daughter's work, his wife has a business at home.
But what's he said about contraception or putting unmarried people in jail for having sex or abortion rights? Or he hasn't really specified.
Other than the short period of time where he was questioned extensively about it after the Post broke the thesis, which all occurred predominantly before Labor Day,
right.
He's managed to shove it on a shelf again. The Deeds people have waged a campaign, and this has been a central theme of their advertising campaign and the like. And unfortunately, I think the voters are just getting tired of hearing it. It doesn't have the resonance it maybe would have had it dropped in September instead of in August.
I want to get to the economic issues after the break because I won't have enough time to discuss them. There's a lot there. But first, let's talk about Cree Deeds, this Democratic nominee. Who is this guy? Where did he come from? What are his views on some of these social issues we've talked about with Bob McDonald?
Cree Deeds is a moderate. There's no doubt about it. He comes from the central part of the state. Up here, we tend to think he comes from southern Virginia. Well, he doesn't. Folks from southwestern Virginia think he's a northern Virginia. He comes from the Charlottesville area. If anybody knows where the Homestead is, it's a relatively rural area.
The heart of Virginia, really,
yeah,
the center.
It's a relatively rural area in the mountains, very pretty, but it's a far distant suburb of Charlottesville. In essence.
Okay, but he supports women's right to choose.
He wouldn't have laws
banning contraceptives.
No.
He wouldn't have laws that expressly discriminate against gay people.
You will not see him going after social issues. You will see him attempting to grapple with our economy, with our unbelievably problematic transportation problem, and trying to preserve education funding in his state.
Okay. I want to address all those things.
Yeah, one of the things
economy,
McDonald wants to do is steal money from the general fund, which funds education, among other things, and throw it into transportation.
We're going to get to all of those issues. The economy, transportation, education, because a lot of those bread and butter issues are what people are going to decide on. Whatever your point of view, though, you need to get out and vote. This election will affect your life, probably even more than the presidential election, if you live in the Commonwealth of Virginia. If you want to call in and comment on anything we're saying on any topic, whether you want to defend a certain gubernatorial candidate, or a member of the House, if you have any comment on the Virginia elections, call 888-488-MARK. We'll be right back after this.
Here again, The Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to The Inside Scoop. There's an election in the Commonwealth of Virginia Tuesday, November 3rd. It's just around the corner. And polls say that those that went out and voted for President Obama, those that went out and voted for the Democrat in Congress, they just can't take the time, many of them, to vote. They say young people don't care about their country. They don't care about their state. They're not going to go out and vote. The Republicans are counting on liberals, on labor, on women, and on young people to stay home because they think that you think that the election of next week doesn't matter. Well, George Burke, my guest today, argues that it does matter and matters in ways that really affect Virginians' lives. We talked about the difference between the two gubernatorial candidates, Republican Bob McDonald and Democrat Cree Deeds, on social issues. Let's talk about bread and butter issues, specifically transportation. A lot of people in Northern Virginia are getting caught in traffic. Now, the Washington Post, when they endorsed Cree Deeds, said that he had a credible plan for transportation, that he would actually make a difference in the way people drive out here in Northern Virginia. What do they say about Bob McDonald?
Well, first of all, let me just quote from the Post.
Sure, go ahead.
The Commonwealth faces a daunting crisis in the form of drastic shortfall in transportation funding measured in the tens of billions of dollars. And they basically say it threatens future prosperity.
So basically, if Bob McDonald gets elected next Tuesday, you are going to be sitting in traffic a lot more hours. And if you want, if you love traffic and you like traffic jams, you don't want to spend time with your family, and you don't want to get to work quickly, but you like sitting in your car, well, then you'll be very happy if Bob McDonald's elected. But if Cree Deeds is elected, what's the difference?
Well, Deeds has said if necessary, he would support an increase in revenue, a tax of some sort.
That's a very brave thing for a candidate to say.
It's the logical, it's the right thing to say. We need to find revenue. Bob McDonald says he's going to offshore oil drilling. Well, even if it's successful, without any court challenges, you're talking 10 years before a penny would drill.
Yes, so that won't raise any money, but it might give us a nice oil spill in the Chesapeake Bay.
And then he wants to sell our liquor stores, which bring in about $100 million a year. He'd sell them for, you know, get rid of them for $500,000 and expect to raise a bunch of revenue like that. It's bunkum. As Congressman Jerry Connolly says, he wants to improve our roads, to fix our roads, to improve our transportation problems with fairy dust. And you don't build roads or rail with
fairy dust.
Well,
it's interesting. The Washington Post simply says he just doesn't have the money to do that. So where does he take it from? He takes it from schools? He takes it, or he just doesn't do it?
Well, he says he would use some general fund revenue. Well, the general fund is already beleaguered. There's already not enough money in the general fund, which is basically used to run most of government, including the state portion of funding transportation. And the only reason we're not in as bad fiscal shape as many other states are because of this worldwide recession is because Governor Warner, Governor Kaine were fiscally prudent. I mean, we're known as a fiscally prudent state. But remember, our fiscally prudent Governor Warner was the last one who managed to push a tax increase.
It's interesting.
The General
Governor
Assembly.
Warner and Governor Kaine have been voted the best governors of the 50 states.
Well, they were the best managers,
best managed states. Best managed states of all the 50 states. And now I guess what Bob McDonnell wants to do is he wants to use that effort and basically run the state into the ground in order to get money for I don't know what. I
mean, well, it's not a matter of getting money. He wants to get elected. And quite frankly, in many other parts of the state, Hampton Roads and Northern Virginia are the two areas most pressed on the transportation issue. The other area where transportation is a problem is the I-81 corridor because of all the truck traffic that moves back and forth.
So basically his view is that we'll leave transportation alone. If you're in a traffic jam, suffer.
Well, that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is ads, first of all, says we're going to get rail to Dulles. Bob McDonald didn't do a darn thing for rail to Dulles. Bob McDonald wasn't involved in rail to Dulles. As governor, he will have no role in promoting rail to Dulles. Rail to Dulles, the funding is there, the project is moving forward, there is no more need for leadership. Kaine showed leadership on that issue, local officials here in Fairfax County showed leadership on that issue and took some heat on it. Our congressional delegation showed some leadership.
So he's taking credit for things he didn't do.
Yeah, that's already done. I mean, there's nothing he's going to be able to do. We can't even patch our roads right now. We have fewer new transportation projects in Virginia than most other states because we don't have the seed money to start them. We haven't had the money in our transportation budget to even plan for some of these new
projects. And why is that? Is that because the Republicans in the House have stopped
that? Repeatedly. For two decades, most of it under Republican rule, they have refused to affect any kind of increase in revenue to fund our transportation
programs. Do Republicans in the Assembly in Virginia, why do they hate Northern Virginia so much that they take all the money from Northern Virginia, they use it down south, but they don't allow Northern Virginia to get transportation dollars back? Is it because they don't represent Northern Virginia? Because
well,
they represent the people down south?
But they don't know. They don't give it to Hampton Roads either. I think that it has nothing to do with that. I think it's just a philosophy on their part because the Republicans in Northern Virginia vote against transportation as well. They paint a different picture during election.
Do they have helicopters? I don't know? Because I sit in that traffic. I don't know what they're seeing.
There's a larger problem here relative to Northern Virginia and Hampton Roads specifically. Hampton Roads, if our viewers don't know, is the largest deep water port on the East Coast. There's a lot of port traffic there. The problem is, how do you get the product out of the port to points west
the roads.
From Norfolk? You use the roads. There's some rail. You use the roads quite a bit, though. And if you can't move that product out of Hampton Roads, well, guess what? It's not going to be as viable a port. Up here, We have more and more major corporations, Fortune 500 companies, Hilton Hotels located here within the last year in Fairfax, SAIC, huge company, is moving its corporate headquarters here. It has many offices. People say, well, they're already here. Well, they're everywhere, but their corporate headquarters is coming here. Volkswagen of America moved their national headquarters here. Why? Because of the quality of life, the proximity to Washington, and the booming economy, and a high-quality workforce. Well, the more our transportation ties this area up in knots, the less apt that these companies are going to want to locate here.
I'll tell you, George, I remember a weekend, it was just a few months ago, I decided to go to the amusement park. I decided to go down to King's Dominion, which is just outside of Richmond. It's actually closer to Washington than Richmond. I looked on my map. It said a 70-mile drive. I'm like, okay, all right, that's an hour, maybe an hour and 15 minutes. 3.5 hours later on a Saturday, I got there. Mm-hmm. I'm never driving to Richmond again. I am not driving to Richmond because there's, forget it. It's just not worth it. I'll stay around here. That's something, and they would have gotten a lot of my money because, you know, amusement parks make a lot of money. It's a stranglehold on the Virginia economy. Now, how would Cree Deeds make
a
difference?
We are the economic engine up here. First of all, no one's going to make a difference overnight. But Cree Deeds, what he suggests is to follow the model that Jerry Belisle, a former Virginia governor, followed, which was to create a commission that involved elected officials of both parties, along with other experts from the community, from across the Commonwealth, bring them together and say, okay, ladies and gentlemen, develop a plan.
But there are three legs to this stool, right? I mean, Cree Deeds can't do it alone. He needs a Democratic Senate and a Democratic House, because as you pointed out, the Republicans are dead set against any transportation improvements in Northern Virginia. Because in their view, if you have to pay for it, they don't want it. And in their view, I guess traffic's not that big a deal.
It isn't just traffic. Whether it's education, whether it's traffic, whether it's the health of our citizens, whether it's the environment, all of it's going to suffer.
Well, let's talk about the other things. You mentioned the economy. Why would the economy be better under the Democrats?
If we don't get our transportation plan in gear, and it's going to take several years just to jumpstart it from where we are so far in the hole. You can notice the rest areas that are closed, the median strips that are not cut. People don't realize
that's all because the Republicans in the Assembly didn't allow that vote.
People do not realize that Fairfax doesn't build its roads. Fairfax doesn't maintain its roads. The state does. Now, in cities like Alexandria, and in one instance, the county of Arlington, they maintain their own roads. But everywhere else across the state, it's done, if it's not any
that's
county.
That's why our roads are better in Alexandria than your roads
yes,
in Fairfax.
Yes, because the city's administering, the city gets the money, et cetera, and it gets a piece from the state. The problem is, under the formula, if a county was to say, we're going to do our own roads, counties operate under different formulas than cities do. Number one, the formula is better for a city. Number two, Fairfax is so big, it's the largest jurisdiction in Virginia, with Prince William being the second largest county. No way are we going to get our share of road money to try and do it ourselves. We'd end up having to raise taxes on Fairfax citizens by huge amounts just to maintain.
Here's what I don't understand. You have all this money from Northern Virginia that's draining down to the south. You've got the Republicans controlling the Assembly, making sure that the people in the north part pay for the people in the south part. But when it comes to roads, where the Northern Virginia needs roads and people in the center of the state don't need them as much, they don't have the kind of population, they're not willing to repay the favor. And I guess my question is, Northern Virginians, if you vote for a Republican, it sounds to me like you're kind of voting against Northern Virginia.
And certainly in terms of our economy, in terms of our transportation, yes, absolutely.
You're voting really to harm this area of the state at the expense of the other areas.
Some of the Republicans who are running in the General Assembly this year are arguing, well, we're going to look out for Northern Virginia's interests, et cetera. Until they get to Richmond, they're part of the Republican caucus, and they either toe the line or they're out in the cold. And so they will toe the line. Historically, we have seen that.
In fact, Cuccinelli was one of those people, right?
Correct, in the Senate.
He was elected by Fairfax voters. He said he'd look out for Northern Virginia. And then he voted exactly against the interests of the people in Fairfax County.
And he barely won his last Senate election. barely won it.
So his bread is buttered more by the Republicans than by the voters here in Fairfax
absolutely.
County.
Absolutely.
And he's running for lieutenant.
He's running for attorney general.
For attorney general, that's right. Now, who's running against? Who's running against?
Steve Shannon, who's a local delegate here. Steve's a local attorney. He was instrumental in starting the Amber Alert system in terms of sexual predators and kids here in the Washington.
That's really important because it lets people know where they are, the sexual predators, and helps to prevent them from harming people.
He's a former prosecutor. Cuccinelli has no prosecutorial experience at all. Cuccinelli is a big advocate of this Tea Party stuff. He wears the little badge, the whole thing. He has spoken to them on numerous occasions. He is even more conservative than Bob McDonald.
Wow, that's hard to believe. Folks, if you went out and you voted for President Obama, and we all know the majority of Virginia did, if you went out and you voted for a Democratic congressman, and we know that also the majority of Virginians did that, why would you sit home next week? Do you not care about your state? Do you not care about your roads? Do you not care about your economy? It's only one vote, and it's your turn to cast it this next Tuesday. If you have a question, you have a comment, if you disagree with anything George and I have said, let us hear from you. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back after this.
Here again, The Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Says that a lot of people that went out and voted for Obama just can't be bothered to vote next week. I'd like to prove the Washington Post wrong. I'd like to show them that Virginians actually do care about their state. But who knows? Who knows? A lot of them don't even know that there's an election Tuesday, November 3rd. There's a gubernatorial race. You have Democrat Creed Eads against Republican Bob McDonnell. There's an attorney general race. We talked about that, Ken Cuccinelli and Steve Shannon. And there's also a lieutenant governor race. My guest today is George Burke. He is the chair of the Democratic Party for the 11th Congressional District and the host of Inside Scoop Virginia. George, who's running the lieutenant governor race?
The Democratic candidate is a woman named Jody Wagner. Jody was Secretary of Finance in Virginia and was also the state treasurer. She knows how to handle money, no doubt about it. She's an attorney. She lives in Hampton Roads, and she's very articulate on the issues, has a vision in terms of what she would hope to do. Of course, the lieutenant governor's position, other than to break a tie in the Senate, involves sitting on many committees and commissions, and of course, if the governor drops dead, they become governor,
which is
what makes it particularly important.
But it also tends to be a waiting place. I mean, Kane was lieutenant governor when Warner was governor. It tends to be a place where people wait for the next step.
Bill Bowling, who is the incumbent, again, is very conservative. Now, you know, we throw these labels around.
Well, yeah, what does that mean?
The best way to describe him. He's really been a do-nothing lieutenant governor, other than to try and feather his nest.
You don't see him in the press. You don't hear much about him.
No. One of the things that Wagner has suggested about Bowling is that he's failed to attend most of the committees and commissions. In fact, I believe the number that she uses is he's attended 6% of the meetings and committees.
6%? 94% of the time
correct.
He's AWOL. He's
correct.
Absent without leave.
Correct.
Yeah, it sounds like this guy's taking a salary and having a
yeah,
little
the
vacation.
Salary is not much. It's not a very high-paying job. But again, as you said, it's often a stepping stone to governor, and it's the governor in waiting if, God forbid, something happens to the governor.
By the way, I found the quote that I was looking for, McDonald's thesis, and I'd like to show it on the air because it's interesting to see what the guy who would be the next governor of Virginia wrote when he was 34 years old. He wrote that every level of government, and this is right here, you can show it on the screen, every level of government should statutorily and procedurally prefer married couples over cohabitators, homosexuals, or fornicators. What's a fornicator? A fornicator is those dastardly single people that dare to have sexual intercourse without Bob McDonald's permission. Maybe he'll give you a permission slip, folks. Maybe he will allow you to have sex, but if not, he does intend to punish you, so get married or else. He goes on to say, the cost of sin should fall on the sinner, not the taxpayer. So if you've ever had sex without being married, let's face it, folks, he wants to make sure you pay the penalty. And he goes on to say the real enemies of the traditional family include feminism. Right here, feminism is an evil, an enemy. That's his word, an enemy of the traditional family. It's right here at the bottom. You can see the bottom of your screen. The real enemies of the traditional family. So apparently he thinks that equal rights for women is an enemy of the traditional family. It's really a very striking thing for someone to have written about not that long ago when George Bush Sr. was president. He wrote this. That's not the Dark Ages. This isn't the time of Strom Thurmond. This is, you know, this is just a few years ago.
No doubt.
And he really believes that, I guess, people who believe in equal rights for women are enemies. Enemies. Such a strong word. Enemies. When I think of enemies, I think of Al-Qaeda. You know, I think of Osama bin Laden. I don't think of feminists. And then, you know, if you're not married, folks, you're in trouble under Bob McDonnell. I mean, fornication used to be, which is having sex without being married, used to be a criminal penalty in Virginia. I'm not so sure how he wants to punish fornicators, but it's interesting he uses that word. He says that the cost of sin should fall on the sinner. It's amazing that this man could actually be Virginia's next governor.
I'll be honest with you. It's amazing to me that the voters are buying the line he's pitching to them.
So they just haven't read this thesis, I guess.
Well, the thesis was promoted heavily by the Deeds campaign. The Post did a good job of covering it. The state's media went into a frenzy for a while. It came out early when they may not have been focusing on this race as much. I think one of the problems is a lot of people still aren't sure who Cree Deeds is.
Tell me who Cree Deeds is. I mean, you say
Cree Deeds is a moderate. He's a genuinely nice man. What he tells you, you can believe him. He's had a moderate record on social issues in the legislature. He has a record that he should be proud to run on.
What is his record? Give me some examples.
He supported on environmental issues. He's basically been a middle of the road.
Give me some
guy.
Examples.
Well, on abortion, he voted on pro-choice initiatives here. He has been an advocate of nonpartisan redistricting. Now, one reason,
redistricting. That's drawing the state lines.
Drawing lines for the state senate, for the members of the House of Delegates, and for the congressional delegation.
So the idea is that the lines shouldn't reflect trying to get Republicans elected. They should simply say, okay, well, Alexandria and Arlington, that makes sense, or, you know, rather than have lines that go all gerrymandering all across.
When the Republicans controlled both houses of the General Assembly, they drew lines that made it took 10 years for the Democrats to dig themselves out of a hole enough to get within six striking distance of a majority, six votes.
So they would draw the lines in a way that ensures the Republican majority for the next 10 years, really.
Now, I'm not going to suggest that if the Democrats controlled everything, they wouldn't be drawing lines to help Democrats.
But right now, the Democrats don't. They have a one-seat edge in the Senate, which is very, very tenuous. And then they're behind six seats in the House. And then if they have the governor, one of the things I've heard that people are concerned about is there's a man in his 80s who's a Democrat in the Senate. If he retires, we could lose both the Senate and the House and the governorship, and Virginia would be Republican for the next 10 years.
And the lieutenant governor is the one who breaks the ties.
So if we have a Republican lieutenant governor, we have ensured through redistricting that they get to choose the voters. The voters
lose
their right
perpetuate,
to vote.
They can perpetuate their own existence.
Well, here's what I don't understand. Virginia voted for Obama. Virginia voted for Senator Warner, Mark Warner. Virginia voted for Senator Jim Webb. Virginia, when the entire state voted for Governor Kaine, for Governor Warner, for all these Democrats and for the President of the United States. Where are these Virginia voters? Virginia, are they just lazy?
Virginia voters elected three new Democratic congressmen in districts that were previously held by Republicans.
So are people just tired? I'd like to hear from you folks. If you have an idea, it's 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Are you going to vote on Tuesday, November 3rd? Who are you going to vote for? And if you're not going to vote, let me know why. In my view, George, and I'm ashamed to say it, I think there are people that got excited about the presidential race, got excited about President Obama. They went out and they voted in November and they think, I'm done. I don't have to vote for another 4 years. My work is done.
Historically, so-called presidential voters only vote once in a 4-year cycle. They just don't come out. They're not interested in what they view as local politics. Sometimes they even view congressional races as local politics. In this particular election, it was even more unique because Obama brought out a tremendous amount of new voters, first-time voters.
A lot of young people.
Young, but not only young. Others who were motivated for whatever reason by his vision, by his personality, by his message, were motivated to come out and vote. And looking at the Washington Post, the latest Washington Post poll, which just came out today, I don't see those people, at least at this point, coming to the polls on election
day. I'm not giving up hope. One of the little secrets about voting in state races is that if you are a presidential voter, you have to wait in line. You don't have to wait in line. Next week, Tuesday, November 3rd, you can get in. The lines are much, much shorter. You get in, and in 10 minutes, you've done your civic duty. But it seems to me that if you do not vote next week on Tuesday, you can never complain about a traffic jam.
You can never complain about bad schools.
You can vote right now.
I just voted. You can vote during the week at the magisterial district offices from 3:30 to 7:30, Monday through Friday, and virtually all day Saturday. I think they do it up until the 30th. You can vote at the Fairfax Government Center all day, Monday through Saturday, up until about the 30th. And so I cast my ballot today. You have to have a reason. You're going to be out of town. You're going to be at work for more than 11 hours. There's a lot of different reasons. Just about everybody can qualify for one or another. I will be tied up that day. I will not have time to vote, so I've cast my ballot. My wife is going to be out of town. She just went to cast hers. I walked through the door. I was out of there in 3 or 4 minutes, and that included me gabbing with the election officials for a couple
of minutes.
You know,
I think there's some people who don't think that democracy is worth 3 minutes of their time. There are some people who want to complain about roads or schools or the economy or whether the trash, or there's so many things that local government does, but don't want to spend 3 minutes to vote. And I got news for you. If you don't vote, you can't complain for the next 4 years. You have no right to write. As far as I'm concerned, you have forfeited your right to challenge anything your elected official's done if you don't vote next Tuesday, November 3rd. Whoever you vote for, whether you vote for Republicans or the Democrats, I think you have a responsibility to vote. One of the things I've argued for a long time, George, is I don't like the fact that Virginia votes in odd years. There's only two states in the United States that do that. It's Virginia and New Jersey. And that means that in Virginia, every single year there's an election.
Correct.
And a lot of Virginians forget that or don't know that or new to the state maybe and don't realize. They think, well, elections are every 4 years, maybe every 2 years. They don't realize in Virginia, every single November is election day.
It's a bigger issue than that, though. I think there are people who just don't feel comfortable voting in the local races. They don't understand the impact of that. Up here in Northern Virginia, it's a major metropolitan area. We have people moving in and out of here from everywhere. Quite frankly, our television news, where a lot of people get their news from, doesn't focus on the nitty-gritty of these races. They're more into the horse race coverage rather than their stances on the issues.
Well, we talked about transportation. We talked about social issues. Let's give people a reason to go out and vote. Education.
If you are the parent of a school-aged child, you are going to see the quality. I don't care where you live in Virginia. You are going to see the quality of education decline under a Republican administration.
Because they're going to take that money and use it for other things.
That's what McDonald has said. He's going to take money from the general fund, which already doesn't have enough money in it. The state's still facing budget shortfalls because of the extent of this recession. They're going to take money from the general fund and use it for transportation. So they say, well, basically they're going to take money from public safety. They're going to take money from education. Those are the
three pillars. So crime
will
go up if you don't have enough police officers.
Well, presumably, yeah.
Crime will go up.
That's a logical assumption.
888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Do you want to see fewer police on the streets? Do you want the education to decline? Do you want to be stuck in a traffic jam? Do you want to take away your rights to contraceptives? Then you might want to vote Republican. We'll get back to more of the effect on the economy of this election right after.
Here again, The Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to The Inside Scoop. Did you know there's an election Tuesday, November 3rd in Virginia? Well, the The Republicans are counting on you not knowing. According to the Washington Post, a lot of Democrats who went on and voted for Obama are just going to sit home this time. I don't buy it. I don't believe it. I still think, in a democracy, that people will actually get out and vote. Maybe I'm just an optimist. Prove me wrong. One person who can comment on all of this is Robert from Arlington. Robert, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
I'm glad to be here.
Are you going to vote Tuesday?
Yes.
Robert, you're going to vote?
I always vote.
Good for you. Who are you going to vote for and why?
What?
Who are you going to vote for and why?
I'm going to vote Donald and every Republican I can possibly find, and hopefully keep the state a red state.
Why do you want Virginia to be a red state?
Because we're going to need every protection we can possibly have against Barack Obama and his Marxist colleagues.
Okay, so you think that the President of the United States is a Marxist, and you're going to vote to deny people in Arlington transportation or education as a way to give a signal to the president, even though the local races in Virginia have nothing to do with President Obama. That's your reasoning?
Electing a Republican in Virginia will send a nice message to Barack Obama that his policies are not appreciated. Restoring the Virginia Senate to the Republicans will send another strong message to Barack Obama that his policies aren't appreciated.
And you don't care if your roads get more clogged?
We want to be a Marxist country.
You don't care if your roads get more clogged. You don't care if education declines. You don't care about any of that. Your goal is to send a message because you think that the President of the United States is a Marxist?
Education is declining. Look at the place where they spend the most money, namely Washington, D.C. Per pupil, they spend more than any place.
We're not talking about Washington, D.C. We're talking about Arlington, Virginia, which is where you live.
Very worse. You know, nobody graduates from high school. Nobody can read.
Nobody graduates from high school in Arlington, Virginia? Robert, are you saying no one graduates from high school in Arlington, Virginia?
I don't want the policies of Washington, D.C. and other Democratic strongholds like New York, Chicago, brought to Virginia. We've done just well as a basically red Republican state for the past 40 years, and I want it to continue.
Okay, well, I appreciate your call, and I appreciate you saying what you're saying. It's very interesting that here you have a guy who says he thinks that the President of the United States is a Marxist. It's a pretty strong term. He thinks, I guess he thinks he's like a Soviet communist, so I don't know what he's reading. Maybe he's listening to Rush Limbaugh. He's got this wild idea of what the president is about, and he's willing to basically sacrifice Virginia in order to send a message to the president. I wonder if Robert is typical of most of the Republicans in Virginia.
I don't want to say that. Certainly the base, the Republican base, yes, the Republican base is arch-conservative. You just have to look at the race that's going on right now in the 23rd District of New York. There's a special election for Congress, and the Republican nominee is pro-choice. And the Republican nominee has relationships with some labor unions. Well, conservative Republicans are leaving her in droves and supporting a third-party conservative candidate.
Well, here's what I don't understand, and I do a lot of national issues, as you know. The public option, for example, in healthcare. The idea that as an option, you should have a choice to use a government facility. You could still pay the insurance companies if you want to. If you want to finance the insurance executives' yachts, you can do that. Or as an alternative, you have a choice to go for the government. The latest poll I've seen, Suffolk University, shows that 83% of Americans think there should be an option, just an option, for a public option, and if you don't want to take the option, you don't have to. Republicans want to deny people that choice.
Well, Republicans have tried to deny people every choice. The Republicans have done absolutely nothing in Congress since day one this January.
But,
they voted against improving the economy.
From Arlington.
Well, he reflects what the Republicans
have
done.
But what he's saying is that if people get health care, that's Marxism. If people get Medicare, that's Marxism. If people get public education, that's Marxism. If people get Social Security, that's Marxism. This Republican Party is against Social Security, against Medicare, against public education,
correct,
against even financing roads. You know, I want to say to Republicans, look, if you want to be a pure Republican, don't use my roads. Tax dollars paid for those roads. Use your own private roads. Build your own road from your house to where you want to go because that's what you support. I believe that it's okay for the government to build a road. And I actually like traveling on government building roads. Call me a Marxist if you want, Robert. I actually believe we need roads.
This new charge, this new McCarthyism that has started to take place is a direct result of the Rush Limbaughs, the Glenn Becks, the Sean Hannitys of the world who have created this new thing, and they have a following. Limbaugh has, what, 60 million people a day who pay attention to his show?
Here's something I don't understand. We had this stimulus package voted on by a Democratic Congress, okay? And we've been having a terrible economy ever since George Bush let the Wall Street banks run away with all of our money and spend it and not have any regulation, something that Republicans like, right? They want rich people to be able to take money and gamble it, take our money and gamble it without any regulation whatsoever. That's a Republican ideal. They drive the economy into the toilet. The Democrats in Congress, without a single Republican vote, at least in the House of Representatives, vote for a stimulus package. In that stimulus package is unemployment insurance. For Virginia, $125 million.
Correct.
And this unemployment insurance is simply for people who, through no fault of their own, through the economy, because the Republicans in Wall Street ruined the economy, they lose their jobs. And Bob McDonnell has said
that he would have voted against it. He said he would have voted against it.
He would deny federal taxpayer dollars to the people of Virginia.
And the House of Delegates voted to do that. The House of Delegates voted against taking this money.
The Republican-dominated House of
Correct.
Delegates.
So voted now it
against
stands.
Giving federal money to Virginia.
Now the state's going to have to borrow $150 million from the feds to pay for
this is amazing.
Now,
stuff.
There was a catch. To be very fair, what would have happened with this money is it would have allowed, Virginia doesn't do this, some states do, it would have allowed part-time workers who lost their jobs to receive unemployment benefits.
Great.
The state would have had to make a change in their law, because they prohibited it at this point, to allow that. The governor made it clear to the General Assembly that they also had the power to change the law back. The argument was that it would cost businesses money because they'd have to pay more into
understand.
The unemployment tax. Well, it amounted to maybe a couple of $100 a year per employee. And again, as I said, the state could, once they spent the money, they could have changed the law.
Here's what I don't understand. You have Robert from Arlington saying that he doesn't want a place like New York or D.C., a place where there's actually some booming economies, all right? He doesn't want that. And so he believes that even when federal taxpayer dollars are being used and we're all being taxed out of our federal income tax and the money's handed out to all the states, he wants to reject the money going to Virginia so that his Virginia taxes go up. Robert from Arlington, a Republican, actually wants to raise Virginia taxes because he doesn't want the federal tax money to pay for it.
I didn't know there were any Republicans in Arlington.
Well,
to tell you the truth.
Apparently there is. But that's Bob McDonnell's position. He would rather raise Virginia taxes than
raise no taxes.
Well, but he's going to borrow money. Is he not going to pay it back? Is he going to default on the Virginia bonds? He doesn't
we
say.
We shall see. He doesn't say. But
see, this reminds
me. We hear a
me,
lot of homilies from Bob McDonnell. We don't hear a lot of facts.
But this reminds me why the House races are so important.
But one more thing about the stimulus. One of the things that's most galling is the Republicans all vote against this stimulus money.
Right.
But I can show you hundreds of press releases on the web where Republicans are taking credit for the money being doled out. The minority whip in the House of Representatives, Eric Cantor, from right here in Virginia, wrote a press release urging money be used for light rail or high-speed rail between Washington and Richmond with stimulus money.
He voted against the stimulus package.
Correct.
So
it's
basically,
the sheer hypocrisy.
They
it's
vote
the same
against
thing on
it.
Healthcare.
They vote against it, and then they expect to take credit for it.
They blast Obama for the TARP money, as do many Republicans, individuals from around the country, but they ignore the fact that it was President Bush who pushed the TARP program.
That's right.
And Obama.
And I'll tell you the difference between Bush and Obama. Bush wanted no protections, no auditing,
attached.
No
Correct.
Strings attached, whereas, of course, Obama has made it very clear he's going to monitor where all the funds come from. One thing that this brings up, though, is the House races in the Assembly. That because you talk about the fact that the Republicans in the House didn't want to take the stimulus package money, have voted against transportation. Can Democrats retake the House, retake the Assembly, What races matter right here in Fairfax County?
I think it's an uphill battle, to tell you the truth, given the numbers in the governor's race. Although I do think Mr. Deeds still has an opportunity to win this if we get Democrats, the base, and folks who voted for Obama out there on Election Day. If we get the numbers high enough.
Who matters? Give us some names. Who should people
Caputo.
Vote for?
Chuck Caputo's in the western part of Fairfax. He's running, I believe, for his third term. He's been an absolutely solid representative of his district in Northern Virginia. He's worked to bring transportation funding to this district and the like. He has a strong challenge. He has a district that trends a little Republican. They've supported him in the past. He's waging a good campaign, but the Republicans have poured some money in
there.
Who
else? We only got a little over a minute left.
Another tight race is a freshman congressman, Margie Vanderhei. Her opponent's very well funded. Carl Rove has come into the district for her and others. Margie has bipartisan support, extraordinarily intelligent. She's been on these shows, Inside Scoop, on several occasions. She has proved herself as a legislator, again, representing the interests of Northern Virginia and her district, but she has a tight race.
Who else?
She's going to need some help. In Prince William County, Paul Nichols has a tight race. He won his seat by a very small margin last time. His big issue is getting Metro into Prince William County, which is desperately needed. There are others who support that.
That'd be great. They get off that road 95 down to Richmond.
Correct.
Those people off.
Move it into Woodbridge and even beyond. Take care of that BRAC problem in Fort Belvoir, where you're going to have all these new people driving in there without new roadways to handle them. I'd say those are the three
toughest. I'll give you one more local issue. And I live in Alexandria, and right next there's a Marant plant that's polluting and causing a lot of damage to the environment. The Democrats, the governor is against it. The President Obama is against it. And so when President Bush was in power, they kept it going. But now that Obama's in power, we could get rid of it, except that the Republicans in the Assembly like to pollute my neighborhood. I don't want all that coal ash. I don't want to breathe all that pollution. Why do Republicans support polluting my air, polluting my water? I want to swim in the Potomac River.
A couple of other good candidates out there. Scott Serville, who's running down in Mount Vernon. Greg Warkeiser, who's running against, I believe it's Dave Albo, in the Lorton, South County.
Whatever your decision, please get out and vote. Tuesday, November 3rd. Every Tuesday in November is Election Day in Virginia. Do your civic duty. Get out and vote. This is Mark Levine.